Welcome to Transforming Minds, Transforming Lives, a podcast series of RCCG Living Spring Pittsburgh. Stay tuned for our senior pastor, Boyega Esson.
Joshua chapter 3 and verses 1 through to 6. Joshua 3 verses 1 through to 6. The great crossover. Amen. The great crossover. Joshua 3, 1 to 6. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. Verse 2. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, "When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before." Verse 5. And Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders." Then Joshua spoke to the priest, saying, "Take up the ark of the covenant and cross over before the people." So they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. I'm sure you know the story how God delivered the Israelites from Egypt. And of course, Moses led them through the wilderness. It got to a point in time, Moses died. So Joshua took over. So Joshua was the one that took them over to the promised land. But before they actually get to the promised land, where the land was shared, they had to cross the Jordan. So this was the episode of crossing the Jordan. In other words, God spoke to them, crossed the Jordan. He gave some instructions. But the major one, the one I want to cash in on, is the verse 5. Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." For tomorrow God will do wonders among you. In the mighty name of Jesus. For God to do wonders, he told them, "Sanctify yourselves." What is sanctification? Is that you are separated unto God, and then you now separate yourself unto God. Let me take that again. You know, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, Ephesians 1, 4, 5 says that even from the foundation of the world, God has called us to be holy and to be blameless in him. So you coming to Christ is not a mistake. God knew you ahead of time. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. He knew you ahead of time, and he called you to become his own son, his own daughter. He adopted us into his own kingdom. Bible says, just as he chose us in him before the world began, that we should be holy and without blame. In other words, God called you, the church is ecclesia. He called us out to himself. That's separation. He called us out to himself, separated you out of the lot, and made you his own. Just like he made Israel, the country, his own. So God called us out, separated us, brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, he stamped us with ownership. So now he's not asking us again that we should now separate ourselves unto him. And that's a big deal. He wants us to consecrate ourselves. So sanctification is actually a two-way street. You know, God called us out of darkness, out of the world, and now that we are his, he wants us to daily consecrate ourselves unto him. And he told them there in verse 5 that, look, if you consecrate yourself, I will do wonders. I will do wonders amongst you. Consecration is just cleanliness. God is a holy God. God cannot dwell where sin dwells. In other words, Jesus came, paid the penalty for sin. The wages of sin is death. He that knew no sin became sin, that we should become God's own righteousness. And the Bible says when God called us, he planted in us his seed. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. He planted in us his seed. 1 John 3, 9. Say, whoever is born of God, you know, as the seed of God dwelling in him. And because of that, he cannot make a practice of sin. You know, whoever has been born of God does not sin. As a matter of fact, his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. So God gave us the capability. God will not call you to do what you cannot do. You know, so he called us, he now empowered us to live a holy life because he's a holy God. Amen. So why sanctification is simple. God is a holy God. You know, God is a holy God. And God dwells in our temple. He's resident in our temple. You know, you don't own yourself. God owns you. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, I think. We don't own ourselves. God owns us. And because God owns us, he expects us to be holy. You know, you don't own yourself. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 20. You know, for God bought you with a high price in the NLT. Say, God brought us, he purchased us with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. He purchased us with a high price, so we must honor God in our body. And because he wants intimacy with us, he wants relationship, he wants to come in and have a tete-a-tete with you. He wants to, you know, back in the day, during the Garden of Eden, he will come in, you know, have a tete-a-tete with Adam and Eve, you know. So because he's a holy God, he allowed the blood of Jesus to be shed to cleanse our sins so that he can come into us from time to time, you know, and fellowship with us. So it's very critical. You don't own yourself. God purchased you. And that purchase is the blood of Jesus. He purchased you with the blood of Jesus. So God wants intimacy with us. We were bought with a price. We don't own ourselves. As a matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, he said, what agreement has a temple of God with idols? You are God's own temple. For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. I will walk among them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Therefore, come out from amongst them. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Don't touch what is unclean. I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters. In other words, God said, look, I want to father you. I want to show you the Father's love. But for me to show you the Father's love in its entirety, you must come out, you must be separate unto me, you must strive towards holiness. You must not take the issue of holiness with levity, because God is holy. It's just the truth. God is a holy God. And the Bible says because we have these promises, we have to cleanse ourselves from all filth, from the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, and perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So sanctification is a work of grace. You cannot by yourself, oh, say, look, I can do it. No, you can't. But as we lean on him, as we abide in him, as we choose, as we make up our minds that, look, I want to do the will of God, it is all a matter of the heart. The heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. It's from inside you make up your mind. I want to do the will of God. I want to please God, because God has not called us to uncleanness. He has called us to holiness. The call we have is a holy call. It's foundational. Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, 2 Timothy 2, 19, that God's foundation is based on holiness. Having this, the Lord, those who are his, so let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Verse 21 says, in a big house there are many vessels. So if you purge yourself, therefore if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, it will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. You see, we are getting into a time that God's power will be in display. The more the darkness, the more God's power will be in display. The more it gets terrible in the world, the more God's power will be in display. And guess what? Who are the carriers of his glory? Who are the ones God wants to use to heal the sick, to save the lost, to lay hands? He says, if you cleanse yourself from this, you will become a vessel unto honor, sanctified and fit, prepared for every good work. So God wants to save the world, but he will not use dirty vessels to save the world. So we are entering into a time that things will get more crazy in the realm of the spirit. But it is those who are standing in righteousness. It is those who are striving to be holy. It is those who are cleansing their vessels. It is those who are running away from sin that God will readily, easily use. I mean, if the bathroom there is dirty, I always pride that we have a very lovely bathroom in this church. If the bathroom there is filthy, you won't go in there. You know, you remember a few years back, you know, we were traveling to Philadelphia and we had to stop in a gas station. I think one of my sons, the bathroom is too dirty. And we looked at him, I just laughed that you haven't seen dirty bathrooms, you know. But on a serious note, when the bathroom is dirty, you can't use it. So God wants to reach. He wants to use people. He's trying to use you to get to your office workers. He's trying to use you to get to that family member. But somehow you are hindering his work because you are not entirely clean. You are not pursuing holiness in the fear of the Lord. You are not perfecting holiness in the... It's not a priority to you. But going forward, it will be a priority because God requires it. He wants to make you a vessel unto honor. It is God's will that we are holy. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 to 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 3 to 5. Say, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentile who do not know God. Say, this is God's will, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. You know, these sexual issues are just all over the place. Nobody even talks about it, you know. But do you know, with the grace of God, by the grace of God, we can live holy, we will live holy? You know, it's ironic. People say, everybody is doing it. But I can tell you, I know young adults who are living clean. And some of them, a good number of them are looking at me now. You know, they are not into masturbation. They are not into, you know, illicit sex, into premarital sex. They are keeping their vessel for God. Brethren, Christianity is discipline. You know, if you are not separate, if you are just like the world, why come to church? If you are just like them? No! You know, your uniqueness is in your distinction. Christianity is discipline. You know, in other words, as you distinct yourself, that look, I'm a child of God, it doesn't take anything to play around. Anybody can play around. But it takes guys who are standing, it takes a child of God to say no to sexual sin. Because, believe me sincerely, God has a plan for your future. And if you allow those things to go deep into you, it will cloud your vision. It can injure your destiny. I'm telling you, I mean, these things are real. But do you know there is grace? There is grace in the house because he has put in you that seed, the ability to do what is right. Do you know why it's so difficult for some people to live right? Because 24/7, the things you are watching, you know, and the more you watch, the more Satan has an inroad into your life. The Bible says categorically, Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Romans 8, 5 said, those who live in the flesh, it's because they set their minds on the things of the flesh. So, but those who live in the spirit, they set their minds on things of the spirit. The more you watch, the more Satan has an inroad into your life. If I begin to take Bible study seriously, if I begin to every day study the Bible like never before, there will be a change. You know, God will begin to walk through me. There's no magic about it. Your output is determined by your input. What you take in is what you get out. You know, so if all day long, it's only when you come to church, you open the Bible, things have to change. Things have to change. That's why people are not victorious. You don't even know the word of God. You just mount, I'm a Christian. You know, no. God has a bigger plan. You know, all you do is just to watch secular movies, you know, sex-infested movies, you know, the things you listen to. Don't you know you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Don't you know God has great plans for you? God wants to use you, but God is a totally clean God. So we have to begin to work on ourselves. He said in that First Thessalonians that you have to know how to possess your vessel in honor and sanctification. When it comes to sexual issue, it's abstinence. You have to run. You don't cajole yourself that you can't do it. But it starts from the mind. You have to clean your mind. You have to begin to work on yourself. I mean, it's ironic. People think it's just young people. No, you have people in their 60s, 70s that are messed up in their minds. Messed up in their minds because they are not giving attention to the word of God, because they are not paying attention to the word of God. But things have to change because God has great plans and because the rapture of the church can happen anytime. It can happen anytime. You know how this thing works. Oh, somebody, you say, I can't do it. But the day the rapture happens, what you cannot do, you begin to do. I'm telling you, because right now you know you're in big trouble. You know, it's just the irony. It's just the truth. So what you think you cannot do, you can do. It's just because, you know, you are tantalizing yourself. I would rather pleasure God than pleasure my flesh. Because as you pleasure your flesh, you are doing something to yourself. You are injuring your mind. You are injuring your brain. I was once hooked on tobacco and marijuana. I mean, these things affect your brain. Each pleasure you give yourself, your brain records it. As you give yourself more pleasure, it's ingrained in your brain. So many times, even mental deliverance is more serious than spiritual deliverance. Mental deliverance is more serious than spiritual deliverance. So there is a need to mentally deliver yourself. Because the Bible says when an evil spirit leaves a man, he goes, you command the spirit to go, he goes, he comes back again to check. If that guy is not mentally delivered, his latter state will be worse than the former. So it's an appeal. At the same time, God is also sounding the warning. You have to begin to take this thing seriously. Holiness is a big issue. You know, God is not playing. Satan is not playing. And as long as you get to that age of accountability, that means you're accountable. You are accountable. There are young people living right. He said, flee also youthful lust. Say, pursue righteousness, pursue faith, pursue charity, pursue some things. There are young adults who are moving mountains for Jesus. Those are the people we are trusting God for. People who are doing stuff. Is a new year coming? Much more than the things, you know, money, cars, all these things. We are going to pray. I mean, that's what you pray for all the time. But much more is your spiritual welfare, is your spiritual health. Some of us take care of our physical health so well, which is good. People take care of their mental health, but the core of them, they don't take care of. Because your spiritual life is your core. If it goes wrong with you spiritually, it can affect you mentally. It can affect you physically. And when you allow too much sins into your life, it eats into you. Eats into you. You know, but grace is available. And we thank God because grace is available. God is a deliverer. I can't begin to tell you stuff, but believe me, I've seen God deliver me. In other words, what is holding you captive can just break just like that. You just experience freedom, you know. But when you are not particular about it, when you don't even give a blind monkey about it, how would God rot the deliverance? And he wants to rot the deliverance. So we have to learn to train ourselves in righteousness. Big stuff. Many of us go to the gym. You know, one of my boys going to the gym religiously, which is very great. His biceps are coming up. He's eating so much. He wants to be big, which is very great. You know, that's training, physical training. You know, I sincerely pray that everybody is also training righteously, righteousness, you know, because when you say no to your flesh, when you discipline the flesh, that's training in righteousness. And he has rewards. He has reward on this earth. He has reward in the world to come. You will live a peaceable life. Do you know, many of the things we bring on ourselves because of our sinful nature is because of the sins we practice. I'm telling you. Bible says fools, because of their afflictions, because of their transgressions, they are afflicted. It's a hard thing to be a sinner. The consequence of sin is not palatable. You know, in other words, obeying God, it just gives you peace of mind. There's nothing to worry about. You don't tell lies. I mean, you are just okay. But when you begin to dabble into some stuff, the consequences are dire. And then you have to sin again to try to arbitrate the former sin, and then you sin again, and your life becomes a mess. At what age? At what age? It is the year of the Lord. It is the year of the Lord. We have to clean up our vessels. You know, we have to just clean up our vessels. I mean, for you to stand in this world, you must know Jesus. I would say, if you know me, you will do exploits. And that's the will of, that's the heart of God. It is the heart of God. And I know there are many people here who would take heed and begin to watch their lives more closely, begin to clean up. Bible says anyone that has this hope in himself purifies himself, even as he is pure. You know, if you have the hope of eternal life, you have to purify yourself even as God is pure. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2-3. Because there is a hope. There's something coming out. There's something that we are looking forward to, you know. And of course, God will help us in the mighty name of Jesus. We have the grace to yield to God. That was just like you yielded your members to sin. He said, now yield your members to righteousness. You know, some of us used to drink in those days. After drinking the first bottle, second bottle, you are still yielded to the third bottle. But we say, just like you once yielded your life, your members to sin, now yield yourself to God in prayers, in Bible study, in personal devotion, in personal worship. That's how we do Christianity. You can't claim you're a Christian and you don't have any personal devotion. You don't pray on your own. You don't read the Bible. You don't worship. For God's sake. For God's sake. You're not a Christian if you don't have a personal devotional life. That's just the bottom line truth. If you are not born again, tell him, Lord, I want to be born again. To yourself be true. If you are totally backsliding, ask him to restore you. Ask him to show up, to show himself on your behalf. God can show himself to you as a righteous God, as a holy God. Is a new year coming? The resolution you should be pursuing, I should be pursuing, is that I want to live unto the Lord. The coming year is the year of the Lord. It's the year of the Lord. It's the year of the Lord. God is making demands on us. But his demands are not grievous. He wants us to be clean vessels. You have the seed of righteousness within you, and that seed God wants to grow and nurture. God will help us. Begin to talk to him to have mercy upon you. Begin to talk to him to give sincerely, you know, give you a change of hearts, a change of hearts, a change. Your destiny is glorious, but believe me, sin can mess up people's destiny. That will not be your portion, it will not be your case. Begin to talk to the Lord for discipline, make up your mind, you know, make a vow to God that, Lord, help me. When you are serious with God, God gets serious with you too. When you get serious, he also gets serious with you, you know. He gets serious with you. And maybe you are there, you are not born again. You are not born again. I would like to pray for you. You know you are not born again. You want to come back to the Lord. I would just like to pray with you. I would like to personally pray with you and hand you over to the Holy Spirit. You want to get born again, just lift up your hands to God. Lift up your hands to God. I would like to pray with you. Believe me, we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. We can do all things. We have the power. We have the power to live unto the Lord. It's what we are focused on. Stop focusing on the wrong things. Give your body entirely to God. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God wants to use you. He has great plans, lofty plans for your life. Thank you, merciful Father. Lord, we give you praise. Jesus' mighty name, we pray.
Thank you for listening. And make sure you subscribe for more great podcasts.